Bill Thierfelder. Thanks for joining us on the David Glenn Show. How are you?
Hey, David, thank you so much for having me on the show. This is great.
It's great to have you on. Tell us, before we fully dive in, what was it like to grow up as a son of a New York Yankees vice president? That right there sounds like a dream come true.
Well, it wasn't the heyday of the Yankees, so, and I was relatively young, but it was when CBS actually owned the Yankees, and Michael Burke was the president. My dad worked for CBS. He was a senior vice president there. And when they purchased the Yankees, he went over and became the senior vice president, who's in charge of personnel and so forth. And, you know, I at the time when you're a young guy, I was only like maybe 10 or 11, you know, you're not really fully appreciating that you're meeting Mickey Mantle and seeing Joe DiMaggio in the hall and, you know, all these kind of, you know, heroes and legends. I've only come to appreciate them with time passing, I think.
Give us a sense, since most of us are enjoying the Winter Olympics to some degree, you've been so successful in education, in business, and otherwise, here you are as an author once again working with a guy like Coach K. Given your own athletic background, where you were an Olympian, but you were unable to compete in the end because of an injury, is it one of those missing limb type feelings when you actually watch the Summer Olympics or the Winter Olympics because you were on the cusp of being on that stage yourself?
No, you know, it's a funny thing. I've always trusted in divine providence and did everything I possibly could. And I think that's usually when people are frustrated, when they have some sense that they just really haven't given their best or that wasn't everything they could have done. But I really felt just completely at peace with the whole thing, which that may sound odd to you because it you know, typically would be considered a big disappointment, but I did everything I possibly could. And even as you watch these Winter Olympics, you see situations where, you know, the smallest things on the Olympic level, that's kind of what makes them so unique and I think really fascinating to watch, is that the smallest things make a difference. I don't know if you saw the finish of the men's 15K biathlon. It was a photo finish.
Great.
It was over 15K. So, you know, the winning time was 42 minutes, 29.1 seconds, and it was a photo finish. So, you know, we look at NFL players and we look at 40 times and we're thinking, you know, careers are made and broken by, you know, that tenth of a second, and that's over just 40 yards. So you can imagine, you know, to lose a gold medal by, well, actually, you didn't even lose by a tenth of a second. You probably lost by a hundredth of a second. This is where you just have to go out, do the very best you can, and then accept, you know, where you are. And again, there's another day. You can hopefully always come back to something else or to the same thing and do better.
I'm a huge fan of that philosophy. Do your best within what you control, and then don't sweat too much about how the dominoes fall. Dr. Bill Thierfelder is joining us, president of Belmont Abbey College, also an author, of course, Belmont Abbey, located right near Charlotte, North Carolina, in part of our listening audience. The new book, Less Than a Minute to Go, The Secret to World-Class Performance in Sport, Business, and Everyday Life, forward by Mike Krzyzewski. I mentioned you've done some work with the United States Olympic Committee. Are there trends, themes, strings that you can see in these ultra-successful athletes, Olympics and otherwise, that maybe you can incorporate into a book?
I really think that what I tried to do in the book was really show that all of these things exist at the same time. I mean, a lot, you know, we often talk about, okay, the sports psychology or the exercise physiology or the biomechanics or, you know, some other aspect of it. And all of these things are happening at the same time. And the individuals that tend to perform at the very highest levels may not, by the way, always be the most balanced person off the court, field, ice, or, you know, hill.
Right.
But what they do particularly well is that, one, they are physically very gifted people in some way. You know, whatever they're doing, they are physically gifted. You know, for example, you look at an NBA basketball player, they're kind of unique human beings. The same thing with the NFL, the same thing. You could pick up almost any sport at a world-class level, and they're unique human beings for that particular sport. But what goes with that is their mental skills. They're particularly good at being completely absorbed in the present moment. And that is really, it seems so simple, but it's one of the real secrets to world-class performance. The more detail you focus in on something, the more absorbed you become in it. And then we use that term, the zone or peak performance or whatever you want to talk about. But it's that is real detailed attention to what you're doing. And the hard part about that sometimes is that whatever it is you are doing, you've been doing it a lot, so you get used to it. So, for example, let's say you play golf. You've seen 1,000 of those white fuzzy balls, you know, after a while. And so it's every single time, can you see the detail? And that's really one of the big keys to performing at a high level.
Learn more about the book at the website lessthanaminutetogo.com. Again, the name of the book, Less Than a Minute to Go, subtitled The Secret to World-Class Performance in Sport, Business, and Everyday Life. How would you characterize what Mike Krzyzewski contributed to this particular enterprise?
Well, he's just a wonderful guy, and I know that depending on probably what school you're from and what your rivalry is, maybe you might think differently. But I'm telling you, as a person, he really floored me, to be honest with you. He overwhelmed me with his kindness and generosity, and I had a chance just to kind of, as they say, peek behind the curtain and see that behind the scenes he does really remarkable, incredible things that no one will ever know about, that nobody will talk about. He's just a very kind, generous guy, and I can't thank him enough for writing the foreword to the book. And what more can you say about him? I mean, I think he's proven himself certainly on the court over the years. Whether you're a Chapel Hill fan or somebody else, or University of Maryland for that matter, that's where I came from. You got to give him the utmost respect for what he's been able to accomplish over his career.
Dr. Bill Thierfelder joining us on the David Glenn Show, president of Belmont Abbey College. New book, Less Than a Minute to Go. The website, lessthanaminutetogo.com. Given your background as well as a licensed psychologist, help me with this Olympic-style question. In all sincerity, candidness, I have not been intimidated by many things in my adult life. I would, I think, be intimidated by the idea of working 4 years towards something and knowing that I get one attempt at showing that 4 years paying off. That I have a hard time wrapping my brain around that. And again, I'm not intimidated very easily at all. How would you help someone like me who is feeling the weight of that moment?
Well, I'd start by not thinking that way. don't look ahead. In other words, it comes back to everything's a byproduct of what you do. So your complete absorption in what you're doing, planning out your training, following that training regimen and so forth, and it's a progressive thing. When I high jumped at Maryland, my best jump was 7 feet 4 1/4 inches. If I looked at that today at 55 years of age, I have to tell you, I don't have a clue as how I could have possibly gotten over that. But it's a gradual process where you're used to training a certain way, and you're used to the techniques of the event and the way the events run. So in high jumping, you get 3 jumps at a height. I mean, you go to the Olympic Games and you miss your 3 jumps, you're gone.
Yeah.
That's it. The thing's over. If you go to the NFL Combine, I mean, you're getting to run the 40 two times. Either you come through and run that 40 or you don't. But if you got in your head, oh my gosh, this is like the big one. And I've had many, professional golfers and so forth that, going U.S. Open say to me, oh, I got the big one next week. And, of course, I play along and I say, well, what are you talking about? And, of course, they go, what do you mean, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the U.S. Open. I'm thinking, well, they still have grass there, right? I mean, it's still a hole and there's still this thing called a stick that you're going to hold in your hand, And it may sound like an oversimplification, but it's not. It's attending to what it actually takes to perform. And the key to any world-class performance, whether it's the one shot at the Olympics or you're playing your neighbor, for a beer, it comes down to right now in this present moment, can you get the whole 100% you have to focus on the skills, the task at hand? In other words, what are the details of this moment that are going to enable you to use that 100%? And that's the best you can do right now. Doesn't mean you can't get better in the future, but that's as good as it comes now. So I think when you get to the Olympics, you hopefully have trained your mind not to let it go to those things. And by the way, you see it in the biathlon. You'll see them go to the shooting range, and, it's like they hit one, they hit two, they hit three, they hit four. And you can see, you can almost see it happening. They start to recognize, I just hit four in a row, and then they miss five because they stopped doing what they were doing that was hitting the target. That's the whole point. The 100% was on seeing the details inside that little grapefruit-sized, black dot. And when they got to four, they started thinking about the actual shooting, which has nothing to do with seeing the little black dot in the middle. And that's how you miss.
Dr. Bill Thierfelder is joining us on the David Glenn Show. Check out the new book, Less Than a Minute to Go, the website, lessthanaminutetogo.com. He's also the president of Belmont Abbey College, right here near Charlotte, North Carolina. Mike Krzyzewski is a guy who stands for a lot of things on and off the court, as you mentioned. What do you take from a career like his, where he's basically on the top of the mountain, even after in his early years at Duke? We talked about it earlier on today's show. He had back-to-back losing seasons, but he kind of stuck with his plan, and look where he is this many years later.
Yeah, and I think that's part of what it makes a champion or a leader or, you know, someone who succeeds at the highest level is that, you know, first of all, it's recognizing, and this may sound like an odd thing to say, but it's recognizing I am nothing, I know nothing, I have nothing. I mean, that's not low self-esteem. That's like, you know, if you're standing next to God, what are you bragging about?
Yeah.
So if you start off there and then say, hey, look, whatever I have, I was given, and now I got a hopefully responsibility, a desire to want to tap it out and do the most I can with it, then that's how you approach life. And wherever you are, you're constantly just in this mode of always doing the best that you can. And sometimes it goes well and sometimes it doesn't. But I will tell you that in working with world-class athletes, I've never met a world-class athlete or a world-class coach that didn't have further to go than they've come. In other words, we assume because they have gotten to the tops of what we look at that, hey, that must be it. But trust me, they haven't even gotten close to tapping out what they have. So as long as they have that desire to double their talents, to be the best they can be, that doesn't end till the day you die, I mean, until you take your last breath.
We hear a lot about university and college presidents' role in college athletics. Give us a sense from your day job, if you will, at Belmont Abbey, Division II, no football, but 19 sports. Do you feel like you are mostly insulated from some of these big picture questions about the future of college sports because your college does not take the full swing at the pinata the way so many others in our state do when it comes to athletics? Or do you feel like you and others like you have a big voice in how these things are going to proceed at the big money athletic departments across America?
Well, I'd start with you're right. I mean, you know, unless you're like in the top 25 Division I teams where you're really generating some real dollars, you know, that you're in a different place and you have different issues that you're dealing with on a daily basis. However, I would say that I don't care how much money you're making, I would really like to see sport be a means for developing virtue. And when I say that, that does not mean that I'm saying don't be a world-class athlete. I'm just saying, can't we have the whole package? Can't we expect the whole package? And unfortunately, what we've allowed to happen is we've allowed it to really become such a business that in the end we're saying, hey, all that counts is the end. All that counts is making the money, and therefore we can do anything it takes to make that money. And that's how you get people cheating and lying and stealing and all kinds of stuff, because really all that counts in the end that you win and make the money. And I don't believe in that, and I don't believe that that has to be the choice. I think it starts off with what's our expectation and how are we going to help develop people in ways. And by the way, nobody's perfect, so I don't expect everybody coming in fully balanced and perfected and, you know, full of virtue. But my hope is that a coach or, you know, a president of a college is looking at this saying, this is our job here. I mean, we're supposed to be forming young people for the future. And that gets to the whole question of, well, then should it just be a professional sports franchise that's just connected to your college or not? But I don't think you have to give it up. You know, when I spoke to the NFL Players Association a few years back, I said to them, how many of you are trying to perfect the intellectual virtue of art? Well, they all looked at me like I was out of my mind, you know? And then I said to them, how many of you are trying to perfect yourselves as football players? Well, the whole room raised their hand. I said, that is the intellectual virtue of art. If you're trying to perfect whatever you're doing, that's that one virtue. But I'm looking for all of them. And that's my expectation here at Belmont Abbey, is that, hey, if you could be national champion, God bless you, that is fantastic. But I'll tell you what, if you're a mess off the field, I'd get rid of you in a heartbeat, because it's about the whole person, and it's about this formation. And that's really what college and universities are for. And if we want to set up a different model and say, hey, let's have a business in it, that's fine. Let's vote on that and say that's what we're going to go do. But the way it exists now, it's kind of a sham to sort of run it like a professional, you know, sports franchise and at the same time have these expectations of education and formation.
Given your status based on the principles that you just laid out there, but also as once a very good athlete representing the Maryland Terrapins, what was your point of view as they decided to cut off 61 years of history with the ACC to chase bigger dollars and solve some of their financial problems as members of the Big Ten starting this summer?
Well, again, you nailed it. I mean, it is we're back to money. So it doesn't have to do with, you know, loyalty or tradition, and these things are important to us. You know, one thing that's amazing to me about play, which is sport is play, is that every human being in the world does it. I mean, there's never been a human being alive that hasn't played. So it's interesting. This is why this stuff is so important to us, because we're wired for it. I mean, we were made to play. As a matter of fact, we love play so much, we'll even pay to watch other people do it.
Right.
So, you know, when we look at a place like Maryland moving on to this, it just shows you that it's moved away from what it was intended to be, and it's really just a business. I mean, it's like saying, hey, I'm going to open a Walmart over here now, you know, in this state. I'd say this is like the equivalent of pro teams leaving their city, you know, to go another place to get a better deal. You know, somebody's going to build them a new stadium and give them, you know, more money. This is the equivalent of that. And having competed at Maryland, and when I was at Maryland, we had won the ACC championship, the track team, 25 years in a row, both indoors and outdoors. And so, yeah, I mean, it was tremendous. It was a great experience. I loved being in the ACC. And so to leave it, I don't know. I mean, it's like leaving your family or something, just saying, hey, I'm going to change my name. You know, I'm not who I am anymore. I'm now this over here because we get something more for it.
As we let you go, is it true that you and your wife have 10 children?
See, that is the greatest accomplishment, you know, that you've brought up.
I was going to say, all this college president, Olympian, licensed psychologist, all that other stuff, man, nothing lives up to managing a 10-child household.
Trust me, you're right. I mean, in other words, that is, and my wife is a saint, Mary. She is just wonderful. But I will tell you this, every one of those children is a blessing. They are a soul for eternity. And when you have a big family, it's really interesting. We love each other. We hang out with each other. I mean, you go into one room, you'll find 10 more people in that room in about 5 minutes. But you also see the beauty of each person. I mean, each person has their own character, their own personality. And, you know, it's a wonderful experience. But I'll tell you what, life is full.
No doubt about it. I'll tell you what, I grew up in a very healthy, happy 6-member family, meaning mom, dad, and 4 children. And I'm the father of 2, and I can't think of many things that I love and enjoy more than fatherhood. But 10 kids plus mom and dad, more power to you, Dr. Bill Thierfelder. And congratulations on the new book. Again, folks, check out the website, lessthanaminutetogo.com, forward by Mike Krzyzewski, the bulk of the book by our own Dr. Bill Thierfelder. Thanks again for letting us pick your brain on a lot of fun topics. Good luck with the book.
Thanks, David. God bless you and all your good work.
Thank you so much. President of Bell.